This is The Bottom Line on Rhode Island Public Radio. I'm Dave Fallon, along with Providence Business News editor Mark Murphy. Hello, Mark.
Hi, Dave.
There was a reorganization and a rebranding of a major home health and hospice care provider in our area. The former Home Care and Hospice of New England has now become the Providence-based Hope Health. And to talk about this, our guest is Hope Health President and CEO Diana Franchitto. Welcome.
Hello.
As we begin, we will note that the organization is a supporter of Rhode Island Public Radio. So there are three related groups in this new arrangement, right? What are they? What's going on?
They are what was formerly known as Home and Hospice Care of Rhode Island, based in Providence with an office in Wakefield, and Visiting Nurse Home Care, the sister organization to Home and Hospice Care of Rhode Island, and they are based in Lincoln. And then our new affiliate is Hope Hospice in Massachusetts, and they are based in Hyannis, and they serve all of eastern Massachusetts.
Why the need to reorganize?
So as many healthcare organizations are thinking about their future, one of the things that is so important is becoming a regional provider and growth. It was important for the Rhode Island organizations to take a look at the market and understand where hospice and palliative care was moving forward and understanding what are the other similarly minded organizations, nonprofit, mission-driven, community-based organizations that would actually be a good partner to our organization.
Growth, we understand it in for-profit enterprises, right? Yeah. They're always looking for growth. Why is this? You were seeing a lot of consolidation in healthcare institutions. Why does it matter for you, for institutions like yours?
Sure. So all organizations, whether for-profit or nonprofit, in healthcare have certain commitments that they have to make, from technology, very expensive technology, electronic medical record, all sorts of devices out in the field. We visit all of our patients in their homes and in nursing homes, and you have to have a very robust IT infrastructure. And so from IT to compliance with all sorts of federal regulations, it becomes so expensive to run an organization. And therefore, the more you can spread that expense, it will be a more efficient organization.
And you're actually coming up on the technology. You're saying you're just having to start that process of, you know, as you absorb and merge with the Hyannis-based entity, this is not easy, right? I mean, how long do you think it'll take to be really, truly integrated?
It will take several years to completely merge an electronic medical record, do it well. It takes some thought and a lot of planning, and we need to be on a common platform.
I notice a great public effort to get the word out about the reorganization. Is there a possible confusion among patients about what's going on?
I don't think so. We've been fairly active and proactive with communicating with all of our patients and their families and letting them know about the name change. And the best part about it is even though our name has changed, their caregivers have not changed, the telephone numbers of the organization have not changed, and their entire care team is the same.
In combining operations, you must be looking at possible duplication of services among the three units. How is that being handled?
So we are merging all of the supporting infrastructure from IT to finance to quality, compliance, and all of the departments that support the clinical operations. And as we assess every department, both here in Rhode Island and in Massachusetts, we'll have a better understanding of what is necessary to support the clinical teams in Massachusetts and Rhode Island.
Might there be some cuts considered?
You know, I don't think so. It is, both organizations are fairly leanly staffed, and I don't believe that there will be.
You're listening to The Bottom Line on Rhode Island Public Radio, and our guest is Hope Health President and CEO Diana Franchitto.
Now, you talked about, you know, sort of spreading costs over large organizations. It sounds to me like you're setting yourself up for more growth. Is that something you see continuing down the road?
Well, we're going to certainly take this affiliation and work hard at making it an integrated organization. But as opportunities present themselves, it is really our obligation to explore and assess and see if they're right. Most importantly, for the patients and the families that we serve, as well as positioning ourselves within this very complex healthcare market.
Will Hope Hospice and Palliative Care Rhode Island continue its affiliation with the Warren Alpert Medical School at Brown University?
Absolutely. It is a very strong and growing affiliation, and we are privilege to train every medical student and resident at Brown in hospice and palliative medicine.
In medical treatment, there seems to be a trend towards more home care, less institutionalization, no matter what. Your thoughts on that?
Well, I think that that trend will absolutely continue. The catalyst for that trend clearly is to treat patients in the least expensive setting of care, and you can't get any less expensive than in one's home or wherever they reside. But also it is to provide patients with dignity and peace, and particularly if they're going through a serious illness and, in fact, maybe on hospice, there's no place that people would rather be than at their own home.
Has technology helped make that happen, make it easier to care for people in their homes?
Yes. Because communication is enhanced when there's good technology, I would say absolutely. People can communicate with their care team regularly, and the caregivers can communicate much easier with one another.
And medical equipment itself, a more digital version, seems to be something you can put in your house, perhaps.
Right. So for our home care agency, Visiting Nurse of Hope Health, we have a very robust telehealth program where vital signs are monitored regularly. They're placed in the home, and via technology, they're transmitted to our office every day. And if someone is having a problem, we can see it. We can call them. We can call their doctor and make sure that their situation is addressed and prevent a trip to the ER or a hospitalization.
Now, how many patients do you treat in the course of a year?
From the Rhode Island organizations, we treat over 4,000 patients every year for hospice, and another 2,200 for palliative care. And then the Massachusetts organization treats about, I would say, about 1,500 hospice patients a year.
As palliative care and end-of-life care continue to transition into things that are more home-based, you're going to see a lot more of that, right?
I think there are two reasons for that. One is the aging of the baby boomers. What do they call it? The gray tsunami that's going to be hitting this country. I heard the statistic that 10,000 people turn 65 every day in this country, and that will continue for the next 20 years. And with that, people are going to need access to high-quality end-of-life care. But aside from that, there is a change in society that's taking place relative to talking about what they want at end-of-life care. Instead of not talking about it, there is open dialogue, and there isn't a day that goes by without some form of media addressing end-of-life care.
Do you find yourselves being involved in that conversation, or are you the result, the end result of the conversation being had?
I would say both. So taking an active, proactive role in end-of-life care, from training the residents and the medical students at Brown, in a sense, we are teaching the next generation of doctors how to care for patients at end of life. But also, we are involved in many state and national activities related to a high-quality approach to care at the end of life.
Okay, we'll have to leave the discussion at that point. Hope Health President and CEO Diana Franchitto has been our guest on The Bottom Line. Thanks for coming in.
You're welcome.
Thanks, as always, to Mark Murphy of Providence Business News.
Great, as always, to be here, Dave.
And I'm Dave Fallon. This is Rhode Island Public Radio.
Major funding for The Bottom Line is provided by the Rhode Island Foundation, using philanthropy to move Rhode Island forward. Details at rhodeislandfoundation.org.